page. If you have your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 7 tonight. I'm going to talk to you tonight, just a little same text, a little different twist, I guess, a little different way to look at it. I guess I could ask this question: what's the big deal about sin? What's the big deal about sin? Every preacher in this building preached on Joshua 7. I'm just comfortable. You've done that. Some of you have analyzed it much more. I was going to Job chapter 7 tonight, but I just felt like this is what God wanted at the kind of toward the late this evening. And so I'm going to pray, and then I'll give you a few little things, and I'll try to quit, and we'll have our business meeting this evening. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you, and Lord, I surely need your help. I know my inadequacy, and Lord, you know what a day we've had today. I'm pitiful, Father. I just admit it. But I ask you to help me. You've called me and placed me in this work. And I think you've placed this text on my mind for the evening. And I want to be obedient. I just want to obey you. I want you to increase in the eyes of those who are listening tonight. And I want to decrease. I want to get out of the way. Father, please do an eternal work in our midst. Take Brother Dustin's thought and seal it to the hearts of these young folks and old folks as well. Just seal it to their heart. Help us, Father. We love you. Take away any hindrances that would keep the Holy Spirit from doing that eternal work that needs doing. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, I just want to, I'm going to go to three different passages tonight if I can. That's really kind of contrary to the way I like to preach, but I want to talk to you about church discipline and sin. I want you to, and I want to start out with AI, and then I want to look at the application of AI. Is there an application for us today? Is it just an Old Testament story that just something good to read and some historical facts, or is there something there for you and I? And then I want to look at the action to be taken. And so we see in chapter 7 the children of Israel. Here's the background. They've come up, they've crossed into Canaan. They have defeated Jericho, a city that was invincible, could not be defeated. No way could Jericho be defeated. But God supernaturally, through their simple obedience, He supernaturally gave them the victory. And you can study all the walls. I've heard all the statistics, and I guess you have too. How wide the wall was. It's so wide. There's two walls, and one wall was so wide they could race chariots on it. And I guess that's right. I don't know if it is or not, but I suspect those who said that had some basis for saying that. And so I accept that. And so they had a great victory at Jericho. But always after a great spiritual victory, you better be on guard. Because what happens, success brings pride and pride brings a fall. That's just how it is so many times. And so when we succeed, if we're not careful, we get uplifted and exalted in the flesh, and we start feeling good about ourselves and about the work, and then we crash and burn. Well, here we are in Joshua chapter 7, the children of Israel coming off a great victory. And Dustin, if I say some of the same things, they need to hear it twice. That's just how I feel about it. And so we see in chapter 6 in verse 18, the Lord said this, "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it." Now, here's what I want you to see, what the Lord said, that you keep yourselves from the cursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. So if, and I know ye in this text is plural, and he's speaking to all the children of Israel, but here's a great truth I think we need to understand. One man's sin affected the whole camp. Amen. You need to just get that down in your mind. If you're sitting in this sanctuary with sin in your life, you're affecting this whole church. Amen. That's just how it is. And so the Lord's told them, you will make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. In other words, those who do not have sin, those who have obeyed, they will suffer just like you all did for your disobedience. And we see that. We see that's what happened. Bible says in verse 2 of Joshua chapter 7, and Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai smote of them about 36, for they chased them from the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. So here's the story. No praying, no talking to God about it. It's such a little matter, we don't really need God. I mean, this is, after what we've done with Jericho, we can just go in there and send a few troops in, and they can wipe that out, and then the rest of us can rest, and we'll be ready for the next battle. In other words, they did not take the Lord's work very seriously. They did not take his instructions very seriously. That's where we live today, by the way. We talk like we're serving. We'll even go to the battle. Some will even go to the battle. I guess Achan went to the battle, as far as I know. He went to the battle. He had to get that stuff somewhere. I guess he's on the battlefield, don't you reckon? And so here's a man, he went to the battle, but he really didn't take what God said very seriously. And so many times that's where we're at. That's right. That's exactly where we find ourselves at. We play at this thing of the Lord's Word. And we're all guilty. We're everyone guilty. My, if I just sat down and hammered down on that for a little while, we'd all just have to hang our head. We play at the Lord's work more than we work at the Lord's work. Amen. That's right. We don't take it serious. It's not a big deal. AI's not a big deal, fellas. Just send a handful up there. That's all we need, but it wasn't all they needed. Can I just say this? Without the Lord, there's no battle you can win. We talk about, well, you need to do this. I preach all the time. Here's what we need to do. You need to get your flesh in line. You need to get rid of pride. You can't do anything without the Lord. You've got to have him. You're as helpless as Dre's little baby over in the carrier. That's how helpless you are without the Lord. Some of you don't believe that, but that's the truth. You're not going anywhere. You're playing, and that's we're all playing without him. So here's what happens. They send up a few men. You know the story. Verse 5, and the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. I believe that smiting means they were killed. I don't know, but I believe that. It could just mean they were smitten. But I take it that they were killed. 36 men lost their life. I don't know if a one lost their life at Jericho, a battle they couldn't win. But here's one that's automatic. 36 men lost their life, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Now they've lost the battle. One they ought here. That's how it always works, isn't it? I mean, you go to God on the things you can't do. He gives you victory. And then you think you can handle the little things and you make a mess out of it. You ever think about Noah? When Noah was on the other side of the flood and the world was wicked, he lived right. When God cleaned up the earth and made it, got rid of all the wickedness, that's when Noah made his mistake. I mean, you'd think it'd be just the opposite, wouldn't you? I tell you what it is, we get built up in ourselves and we think we got this thing, we know how it works, we can handle it, we've got it going our way. But the fact of the matter, we need the Lord. And so now they've suffered defeat. They've been whipped. And now all of a sudden it's like a 180 degree turn. It's not they're just concerned, they're distressed. They're in despair. I mean, you would think, well, we messed up. Let's go talk to God and let's figure out what we got to do. Oh, no. No, not at all. Here's Joshua, and if you'll just let me say it, he fell to pieces. He went to pieces. He fell apart. We see that Joshua in verse 7, Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we'd been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan." He said, "I wish we hadn't even come over after that great victory at Jericho." Oh my, here's what I want to say to you. Sin. Now we know why was it they lost the battle? I ain't even got there. How many of you know why they lost the battle? Sin. Sin in the life. In the life of Achan. One person sinned. The whole nation lost the battle. Well, let me give you three or four little things sin causes. Number one, it brings discouragement and despair. Always, sin always will discourage God's people and God's man. Discouragement, delay, and defeat. A battle they should have won going on to the next battle, now they got to regroup, fight that battle again. There's a delay. They're not on schedule. They can't go like they should have. Sin brought delay and defeat and discouragement. Sin brought death. Sin always, the end of sin always is death in some form or another. It may be the death of your service. You may be set on the shelf to the sinner who dies. It's eternal death, but sin always brings death. That's the fruit of sin in your life. May be death of joy and happiness, but sin always brings death. You just count on that. If you're harboring sin in your heart right now, let me just say this. When it's through with you, it's going to bring death of some kind in your life. It's just how it is. It brought death to 36 men here. But then lastly, I'll say this. It brought discipline. God said, if you're going to have victory, you're going to have to discipline yourself. There's going to have to be some self-discipline taken. And so we know the story. We know how this story goes. Here they are. There's just a couple little truths I want you to get here. Number one, your life affects the body of this church. You need to get a hold of that. And other believers who are not even here tonight, if they're part of this church, their life affects this church. Now, is that right or is that wrong? Am I just up here just trying to fill up a Wednesday night, or is that the truth? You know it's the truth. That's how it is. Our lives, when you play with sin, you affect me. You affect Blake and Ben, Kelly Beth and Chad, and Brother Brian and Jesse. I can just keep going. You affect us when you play with sin in your life. You cause us to live defeated to some degree. Because sin does that. Well, you need to get that truth in your mind. And then you need to get this truth in your mind. What was the remedy? What was the remedy? They had to deal with the sin. No other way. No shortcut. No second option. No third option. The only way for them to get victory in this little battle was to deal with the sin that was in their midst. Now, preacher, what's the deal here? I mean, what's the application? Here's my application just for you personally. Is there sin in your life? Now, really, what Achan done, really, what he did really wasn't... I shouldn't say this. You should never say sin is not a big deal. But it wasn't a great sin. In some ways, he didn't commit murder. What would you think the great sins are? Wouldn't you think murder might be a great sin? Maybe adultery. Maybe some of them those sins might be great sins. But all he did is get him a coat. It's really all he did. Somebody preached that here sometime. Chad, was that you preaching on that? The size of the gold and the size of the silver, wasn't it? Maybe, I don't know who it was. Somebody did. And they're just talking about wasn't much, wasn't a whole lot. Surely wasn't worth losing your life over. But 36 men did lose their life over. See, sin always costs you more than you want to pay. Fact of the matter is, it's going to cost Achan his entire family's life. And Dad, let me just say this. Go ahead and harbor your sin in your life, but it's liable to just take the life of your children and your wife, spiritually speaking. It's liable to just cost them their lives. I've seen it more than one time. Just the actions of the head of household is liable to cost your family their life. And so here's where Joshua was. He's in despair, and the Lord just says this: just get up, just get up. You're acting like this is the end of the world, but you need to get up. In verse number 10, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? And the Lord said this: the problem's simple. It's not a difficult problem. Here's what the problem is. Israel hath sinned. Didn't say Achan sinned. It said Israel hath sinned. Verse 11, Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they've even taken the cursed thing and have also stolen and dissembled also. They stole God's property. What they did, the gold and the silver was his. Now the garment was cursed, I guess. I don't know if the gold and silver was a curse. I know the Lord said, you can get that gold and silver because that's mine. So they had a right to get that, but now Achan got it, but he kept it for himself. You better watch stealing from God. Amen. You won't get by stealing from God. I'll never forget what Stennett Blue said. You can't outgive God, but you can't outrob him either. And he was saying that very, reverential. He's saying you hold back on God and God will hold back the blessings on your life. That's what he's trying to say. And so we understand that. And so here's old Joshua, and he stole from God. You won't steal from God and get by with it. Whether it's the faith promise or the tithe or a free will offering, or God puts something on your heart to give somebody, you won't steal from God and get by with it. It just won't happen. You might think you are, but you'll pay a few more doctor bills, or you'll have a few more vehicle repairs than normal. Or here's all I'm saying. God's going to get his part. Going to get his part. Well, here's what the Lord said to Joshua. Quit laying there crying. Get up. It's a simple problem. There's sin, and it has to be dealt with, and there's no other solution for it. And let me tell you, with sin in our lives and sin in our churches, there's no other solution but to deal with it. No other solution. If there was, if we could offset it some way, if we could do two good deeds to offset the bad, that'd be great. But sin has to be dealt with. God cannot overlook it, church. He can't overlook it in your life. He can't overlook it in the church. And so that's what they did. They got up, and poor old Achan had a chance to repent, but he just wouldn't. I really think he thought he's going to get by. I mean, they're telling him, you need to confess it up, and there's a day or two there while he's working on that. They could have got, he could have, as far as I'm concerned, he could have repented and got right. He didn't believe he's going to get caught. He just didn't believe it. And my, that's where America's at. Amen. Really, America thinks she can kill all them 60 million plus babies? Can you imagine the cry that's coming from the ground on the... I mean, if one man, if Abel's blood cried unto the Lord from the ground, what is 60 million babies cry? I mean, what's that? What is that in God's ear? Well, here's what America thinks. Ah, we'll get by with it. We're not going to get by with that. Oh, we can just shake our fist in God's face and condone lesbianism and sodomy and same-sex marriage, and the whole world's doing it. We can do it and it won't matter. Hey, there's a God in heaven that's going to bring us to judgment one day. I'm sure as I'm standing here. Young people, here's what the devil will tell you. You just live how you want to. It'll be all right. You're just a kid. Once you get married, you can settle down and do right. You know, can I just say this? If you're saved, you can't sin and get by with it. Just can't do it. There's a payday. And so it was with them. And so you know the story. Joshua lost his life. They took him down to the Valley of Achor, and they stoned him and his children. And they all died. Now that's a great little story. And there's some application there. How does that apply to the local church? I mean, really, people come in the church and their sin and their known sin in their life. What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to turn our head and act like nothing's going on? Is that the right thing to do? Y'all nervous as a cat tonight, ain't you? I'm just preaching what God gave me. Now let me ask you this. What are you supposed to do? What if we have a drunk in the church? Public drunkenness. What if we have a fornicator? Public fornication. What if we have a railer in the church? 1 Corinthians 5, real quick. I'll give you this. It's the same principle as Joshua chapter 7. Same purpose. What is the church to do with known sin in its midst? Many of y'all know where we're coming from. Notice verse 1, it is reported commonly. Well-known fact. It's a well-known fact. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. In the church, there was a fornicator. One of the church members was a fornicator. And it was well known. Everybody knew it. It wasn't no secret. Maybe she was 3 months along and everybody knew what was going on. I don't know. And my, it's such a wicked thing. It was with his stepmother. That's just unheard of. And I mean, it's just something you don't even want to mention. Don't even want to mention it. And here's what they were. They were puffed up. They wasn't sad because sin was in the church. They're puffed up about. Maybe there's some wanting to do something about it, and they said, well, bless God, you're not going to do anything to my friend, to my family member, to that good tither who tithes so faithfully to the church. They got all puffed up about it. Who do you think you are? Are you perfect? Are you Mr. Holy Joe? That you think you can do something about this man's sin, and you're not, you've got sin in your own life. And we do all sin, don't we? This is sinners dealing with sinners. What it is. So that's not right. You need to clean your house up. Well, there's a difference. There's a difference in a lifestyle of sin and the occurrence of sin. You can get that down. We all make mistakes in sin, but we don't have to live a lifestyle of sin. Amen. All right. Verse 2, and you're puffed up. Have not rather mourned. Paul said this is something you ought to be mourning over. When there's sin in the Ridgeview Baptist Church, we ought to be mourning about it. Don't not be anything to take sides and puff up and get ready for a fuss or a fight. It ought to break our hearts. You know why? Because it's going to keep us from winning the battle. It's going to keep sinners from being saved in this church if sin is in our midst. Let me read that verse again. Ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Paul says you should be mourning that this fellow that's done this sin be taken away from among you. Not be part of you. Taken away from among you. And then Paul said this, for I verily is absent in the body, but present in the spirit. He's not even there physically. Have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan, for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. In the day of our, let me get it here. In the day of the Lord Jesus. Now here's what he's saying. He needs to be delivered unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. I don't know if that's some kind of apostolic power that Paul still maybe had, or some of the leadership had, but Paul's saying he needs to be delivered unto Satan. He needs to be out of your midst, delivered unto Satan. And then he says this, your glorying is not good. They were glorying in this fella. You say, my preacher, why would they glory? I guess he was their buddy. Maybe the good old boy system was alive in Corinth. I don't know. Oh, he's a good old boy. We grew up with him. He loans me his chariot every time I need it, or his wagon, or whatever it might be. I don't know. But he says this, your glory's not good. Now here's you a little truth to take home with you. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Now if we let sin fester in the Ridgeview Baptist Church, it'll just keep spreading. Now here's what Paul told them to do. Purge out. You know what purge out means? I think y'all do. I'm just trying to go slow so you can understand what the Scripture says. Y'all know what purge means? That means to get the impurities out. You know, they'd heat up the silver and the gold. You've heard the story, the impurities float to the top and they rake it off and the silver and gold's pure. Here's what Paul's saying. You need to apply the heat. Let the sin come up and get it out of your church. That's what he says. Now, it's just, is that the Bible or is that the Bible? You know that's what the Bible's saying there. Now, we don't practice it anymore. It's not a way. That's why the church is a joke. That's why there's no power with the church. I bet I'm trying to talk country and I don't need to. I start saying it'd be a sight if we knew how much sin might even be sitting on our pews tonight. I don't know. Some of you young people may be loaded down with sin in your life. Some of you adults that act so godly, you may just be eat up with sin. See, you have sin in your life and nobody know it but God. That's the way it was with John, with Achan for the longest time. He had it hid in his tent, under his tent, or some way had it hid there around the tent. Nobody knew. How'd he get it there? I don't know. He slipped it in there some way or another. You have sin hid in your tent. You're hurting all of us if you do. And here's what Paul told them to do. Once it's known, get it out. Talk to the church body. And he didn't say if it's your enemy, get it out. And if it's your buddy, leave it in. He said, if it's sin, get it out. Yes, because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lot. Can't leave it. It won't remain dormant. It's not benign. It's malignant. It'll grow and grow and grow. Well, let me read on. My time's about gone this evening. Verse number 8, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now verse 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Young people, you ought to underline that verse. You ought not company with fornicators. Take you down the wrong road. You'll end up at the wrong destination in your life. Amen. But now let me back up to verse 10. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. Now we know when you get out in the world, you have to deal with sinners. That's what they are. They're all sinners. You go to the Home Depot, you have to company a little bit with a fornicator, maybe. That's just how it is. By the world we live in, fornication's not even considered a sin, hardly. Just shack up and get ready to go your separate ways. It just takes a lot of the fuss and a lot of the aggravation out of it. Isn't that where we're at today? Verse 11 says, but now I've written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother. It doesn't really say he is a brother, but that is called a brother. be a fornicator. Now, let's just stop right here a minute and say that's not the only sin that's mentioned. Or covetous. How many of y'all covet? If it's a known sin, I'm to deal with that. And I'm not to company with you. Or an idolater. My. Boy, that's starting to... That's getting a little uncomfortable, isn't it? How many of you worship something more than you do the Lord? Hey, if that's known, that's to be put out of the church. No wonder we're in the pitiful shape we're in today. Half the pews are idolaters. Think more of country music star than they do the Lord. Or a ball star or a whatever movie star or whatever else there is out there. And then we want the blessings of God in our midst. He said, now don't you company. If any man's called a brother and he's an idolater, don't you company to him. Or a railer. That's something that just attacks other people with their tongue. There's railers out there. Or a drunkard or an extortioner. And then he goes on and says this, with such a one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within. But them that are without, God judges. Now listen at this. Here's the summation, the whole thing right here. Therefore put away from among you that wicked person. Why? Because you hate him? Because you're holier than thou? Because you... No, not at all. Two things. Number one, you want to restore him. Now, I don't have time to go to Matthew and show you the restoration, but in a spirit of meekness, we're to restore the brethren. Amen. Restoration is the ultimate goal of church discipline. And then number two is to get sin out of our midst. Because with sin in our midst, we cannot win even the little battles. The little battles. You know why some of us may be defeated? Why we can't go on with God? Why we can't do for God? It may be we've not dealt with the sin in our life. And we think it's so little, such a small thing, that it's not a big deal. But sin in the eyes of God, small, however you want to categorize it, small, medium-sized sin, a large sin, it's still sin in God's eyes. And it robs us of fellowship and power. And it brings defeat and despair and disappointments and spiritual delays and death amongst God's people. And here's what I'm saying. No doubt tonight, there may be one of you, some of you, all of you. That's good preaching, preacher, and go home and still harbor them little sins in our life that we ought to deal with. And nobody will ever know, because many sins that God's people struggle with, they can keep them on the inside and hide them. See, I don't know who's right with God tonight. You may be sitting on the pew with jealousy, with envy, with malice, with wrath. You may have an old backbiting spirit. I don't know. You may be an idolater. You may be covetous. I couldn't go through here and say, now, Chad and Brian, they're idolaters, and Ben, he's covetous, and Brady, he's this, and Josh, he's that. I can't do that. I can't see it. But if you're saved, the Holy Spirit will, he'll speak to you. And if we're not careful, we'll just blow him off. We'll just ignore what he says and go on our way and live our little defeated life and feel good about coming to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. Here's all I'm saying. Let's deal with sin in our life. Let's bow our heads this evening before we close. Sister Emily's going to come to the piano. Are you honest enough, if God has spoken to you, would you just be honest enough to do business with Him this evening while she plays?